Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett.
He was looking, he was longing, and you may feel you are a long way off from God, and God is looking for you to come home.
Have you ever wondered about God being called Father? The parent-child relationship is a reflection of the relationship we have with God. He's our Father, and we are His sons and daughters. His love for us and fathering of us is superior to anything we can imagine or grasp. Fathers, sons and daughters is Dr. Corbett's focus for tonight. Let's join him now.
Okay, so many of society's social problems can be solved by better, here's the word I made up, dadding. Better dadding. It's interesting that a representative of Hallmark gift cards, you may have heard this, Hallmark gift cards went into a prison in early May and offered prisoners free Mother's Day cards to write to their mum. They were overwhelmed. Prisoners right, this was done in America, prisoners right across America took advantage of it, and hundreds of thousands of Mother's Day cards were sent from prisoners to their mums. So encouraged and buoyed by the success of the free Mother's Day card offer, Hallmark Cards decided to do a similar thing for Father's Day, and hardly any prisoners took up the offer. What does that tell us? Well, it tells me something I already know, that there's a lot of people who have very dysfunctional relationships with their father. In fact, oftentimes when I meet angry people, you scratch just a little bit below the surface, and in that person's life is a dad they despise. In my 25 years of pastoring, when I've explored this with people, in every instance, there's been hatred, disappointment, and despising of a dad when I meet somebody who is really angry and really frustrated. That's why I say many of society's problems could be solved if dads did a better job. So I want to look at this topic by looking at three categories. I think fathers are often misunderstood. I think there's a lot of sons who are confused, and I know that there's a lot of daughters who feel very desperate. If we can learn how to have whole families, healthy homes, it will make a difference. So if you've got your Bibles there, we're in Luke chapter 15. We're starting at verse 11. This is a very well-known story. It's a beautiful story. It's considered to be one of the most popular stories of the New Testament that Jesus told. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, remember what the son had rehearsed to say? Listen to what he actually says. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now, the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." We call this the story of the prodigal son. But that word prodigal doesn't occur in the scriptures. It's a word that we've just ascribed to this story. Tim Keller in his book says this is not the story of the prodigal son. It means to be lavish and extreme and excessive. Who in this story is lavish, extreme and excessive? What do we learn about the father in this story? Well, we know that fathers have a threefold role. Fathers have a role to provide, protect and pastor. Provide, protect and pastor. To provide materially, emotionally for your family. To protect, to guard against, to offer words of protection. And to pastor, to pray for, to teach their children about God, his ways, his word. So let's look at this. The prodigal father provided well for his children. How do we know this? Remember in verse 17 we just read there, when the son, the one we call the prodigal son, the younger son, had lost everything. He'd squandered it all. Remember what he says, "Wait a minute, back home, even my father's hired servants have not just enough." Remember what he says? "More than enough." That's somebody who provides well. A dad who provides well. Now, by the way, if you're a son or a daughter here and you're sitting with your dad and you're kind of leaning, see, you know, iPod, that iPhone I've been asking for. You're listening to the pastor here. He says you should provide that. No, no, no. His job is to protect you as well. So that's why he won't give you that iPhone or iPod. You know, as a dad, I will go without. Now, I know this applies to mums as well. I see that all the time. But as a dad, I feel that. One of the things is just a little thing. If I see my children with shoes that have holes in them, I feel like I'm not providing well enough for my kids. The father also modeled something which I think is a gift to any son in particular, and that is how to work. Now, one of the criticisms dads will get in the fact that they're often misunderstood is, "Oh, Dad, you're always working." Well, listen here, princess. Who do you reckon paid for the internet connection that you're sucking dry each month? Who do you reckon puts food on the table? How do you reckon that happens? Somebody's got to work for it. Somebody's got to work for it. But I'm not just talking about that kind of work. I'm talking about keeping your gardens tidy. I'm talking about keeping your car clean. I'm talking about if you go into your children's bedroom because your wife has told you, go and tell them to tidy their room, that when you say, tidy your room, your child can go, well, let's go and have a look at yours, shall we? And you model what it is to work. I reckon this father taught his sons how to work. How do I know that? Because here's the older son. What's he doing most of the time in this story, apart from complaining? He's out working. This is why, parents, if you don't give your children tasks in your home that help with your family, you are not parenting them well. They must learn to work. They must have responsibilities. Ruby's responsibility is to sweep out our garage and shed. Really, it's not about whether she does a good job or not. It's the fact that she's got to understand that life operates on the basis that you contribute to it. We just want you to work. We want you to understand that life is going to be what you put into it. That's work. And I think this father did that well. Notice when the younger son, who squandered everything he had, when he came to rock bottom, what did he go and do? He went and got a job. And apparently the worst kind of job. So, what else do we see about this father? This father taught his children about God. Can I say to every dad here, if you've got that privilege of having young children, primary school age and below, and you've got that privilege of being able to father them, don't just hope they learn about God. Teach them. Teach them. Don't just hope they understand about God, His Word, His ways, His will. The real WWW. Show them about God. Notice the young son, when he hit bottom, he said, I will go to my father and I will say, I have sinned. So what does that tell us about what this father had taught his children? He taught them about God. I have sinned against heaven, which is the Jewish way of saying God. I have sinned against God. I have sinned. So he taught them about God. Fathers have a responsibility to teach their children about God. Yet, the father was greatly misunderstood, wasn't he? Greatly misunderstood. Which of his two sons understood him best? The answer is neither of them. So it's a deep, deep longing in every father to feel pride in their son in particular. And one son thought he made his father proud by what he did, by being dutiful, by always working. The other son, he thought, I could do anything and my dad will still love me. Both of these boys are confused. And how many people treat God like this? God will love me if I work really hard for him. God will love me irregardless of what I do. And there's a truth in both of them. But let's see if we can find a balance somewhere. Here's the question. Why did Jesus tell this story? Why did he tell us this story? He told us this story to tell us something about God. We do learn a lot, I think, about fathering. Tim Keller, in his book Prodigal God, points out that this story would have almost seen Jesus thrown off a cliff, because he would have outraged his audience. We read in the opening section of this chapter, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, because it says, now tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus. Verse 2, and Pharisees and scribes grumbled. So Jesus tells this story. Jesus tells this story. And we look at this story and go, oh, this is a lovely story. This is a beautiful story. Without realizing there's a lot of tension in the room. Jesus is telling the story. Which of the sons represents the Pharisees? The older one. Which one represents the tax collectors and sinners? The younger one. Which one repents and finds favor with God the Father? It ain't the older one. Fathers can learn something about fathering from this story. But that's not all. Hurting sons, and I'm going to come to daughters in a moment. Hurting sons. I think the older son was really hurting. There's a disappointment and an ache that comes when sometimes a son thinks a father will do this for them. What did the younger son think when he was feeding pigs this slop? I wonder if the younger son thought, why doesn't my dad come and rescue me? There could have been all kinds of reasons for anger. Both boys wanted to experience their father's love. Here's something that perhaps will change the way you look at a lot of what's going on in the world right now. There are some young men who do not get the love of their father. Their father is either absent or their father does not love them. What happens to a young boy when that happens? There is still a deep ache, a deep longing to be loved by a man. And that makes that young man very vulnerable to the wrong kind of love from a man. Only one of these boys was actually looking for his father. Ali mentioned over communion that there's in that beautiful passage about God's sovereignty, how Jesus told the disciples, go to this room, it'll all be ready, just go. And how did Jesus know that? Because he's God. And here's this young boy looking for his father. And what do we read in the text? When he was a long way off, his father saw him. His father, therefore, was doing what? Looking. He was looking. He was longing. He was waiting. And you may feel you are a long way off from God. And God is looking for you to come home. And fathers know that they give their children distance. And they run the risk of being misunderstood. Why didn't the father go into town and pull his son out? Come on, son, get out of this pig swill and I'll take you home. Why didn't he do that? He had his reasons. Why doesn't God always come and do what we want, when we want, how we want? Because he has his reasons. And fathers know, when you're trying to catch some big fish on a very light line, you don't pull it in too quick. You keep the tension, the right tension. Not too much line out, not too much line in. That's the art of parenting as well. One of these sons was looking for his father. It wasn't the older one. And Jesus told this story to show us something about his father, Father God. And fathers represent God in a unique way to their children. Fathers represent God to their children. And so here's this dad, two boys. The youngest son says, Dad, give me my share of the inheritance. You know what he's saying to his dad? Because when do you get your inheritance? When you're dead. Now, what would any Middle Eastern father do in public to his son who said that to him in public? Slit his throat. Thank you. I take that as an authority figure from someone of somewhat Middle Eastern descent. Or slapped him. Or said, how dare you? And Jesus would have shocked his audience with a story of a father who didn't respond that way, but had every right to. The father said, Okay. Did you notice that the older son got his share of the inheritance at that point? Now, if I was the older son and Dad just gave me $5 million, I'd offer just the occasional little, well, thank you. Thank you, that's very nice of you, Dad. Why are you doing this? He didn't. No gratitude. No gratitude. If you want to improve the relationship with your dad, show some gratitude. So he divided the inheritance among them. That's interesting. The younger one wasted his. The older one, we don't know what he did with it. Have no idea. But I want you to notice something about the father. By the time the younger son has come back, the father has regrouped and reaccumulated as much wealth as he had before. There's a generosity that is able to produce more in your life than if you held on to it. Proverbs says something like that as well. All right, so what do we learn about fathers? They provide, they protect, they pastor. We see this dad did it. Does that guarantee that your children will receive what you have to say? No, the older son didn't get it. Does that mean you shouldn't try? Not at all. Keep going. It tells us something about God, doesn't it? He keeps going. He keeps reaching out. He keeps being on the front porch looking out for his son. There he is. And in a context of the Middle East, fathers don't rush to their sons. It's just not done, and yet this father does. Beautiful. So let me finish up with this thought. Jesus told us that there was a man who had two sons. Let's suppose he had a daughter. What do daughters need from their dad? You know, daughters, when your dad says, hey, I don't think you should wear that. Don't wear that. You know what he's doing at that point? He's protecting you because he's your dad. When a dad says to his sons, look out for your sister, he's bringing them into this same mission, protect her. When a dad teaches young boys that you don't just treat your sister that way, you treat every young girl that way. Young men, Paul writing to Timothy, he says to Timothy, teach young men to treat older men as fathers, to treat older women as mothers, to treat girls as their sisters. I tell you what, our society would look really different if young men treated girls with respect. What do young girls need? They need what young boys need, but there is a difference. And there's words that can come from a dad that no mum can offer. And in the end, chances are most dads probably won't be the perfect dad to either their daughters or their sons. And I've seen this, when a daughter doesn't get the love of her dad, she's desperate for the love of any man. I said I wanted to offer a solution to break the cycle, and here it is. It's found in the very closing verses of the Old Testament. It's in Malachi chapter 4. We're starting verse 5. It says this, behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. We know that Jesus said, Elijah the prophet has come. He wasn't talking about an actual person or a reincarnation of a person. He was talking about John the Baptist, who was in the spirit, in the ministry of Elijah, the one who was in the wilderness, who was able to speak to the whole nation and call them to repentance. You remember, Elijah did that. And so, Jesus said that was John the Baptist. Okay, so here's the question. If we read the next verse, verse 6, it says this, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And here's the question. If you've read what John the Baptist taught and preached, did he even mention fathers and children and families? There's not a mention of it. How on earth did John the Baptist fulfill this passage, which Jesus said he did? Notice here it says, when those relationships break down, the land experiences destruction. You read in the previous verse, it says the land will be filled with violence. We've got angry men who haven't been loved by their dad. We've got desperate young girls who give themselves to anybody because they haven't had the love, the wholesome, pure love of a dad. And Jesus said John the Baptist would come and he would heal that. He would bring children to their fathers in reconciliation and fathers to their children, and they would be reconciled. So let me ask you the question. If you could sum up in one word the message of John the Baptist, what would it be? Repent. Repent. In fact, it's the first word recorded coming out of his mouth in the New Testament. Repent. What does repentance mean? It means you may have a gripe against your dad. You may feel bitter. You may feel upset. You may feel let down. You may feel that your dad didn't encourage you, acknowledge you, love you, be generous with you like you feel he should have been. Well, I've got a challenging word for you. Let it go. Repent. Repent. And you might think, well, I've got nothing to repent of. I'm not the one who's bitter. He is. He should repent and ask me for forgiveness. Well, far be it from me to say that you may have a slight anger bitterness problem that you need to repent of. But you do. Repent. And some of you need to let go of the bitterness and disappointment you have toward your dad. If for no other reason than what it is doing right now to your relationship with your heavenly Father.
Fathers, sons and daughters, the relationship we have with our own Father can distract us or even taint our understanding of how perfect a Father God is. God's love for us runs so deep, it's unconditional and ever faithful. More from Dr. Corbett next week with The Father's Heart. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, Fathers, Sons and Daughters, are available via the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting us at Lagana Media, PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. For regular updates and special offers, visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/findingtruthmatters. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.